Willkommen zu Unruhige Zeiten, dem Podcast vom und für den Mittelstand.
A warm welcome to the TTE Strategy Podcast Unruhige Zeiten. Today in English and from the United Arab Emirates, from Abu Dhabi International Airport with an exciting guest, Daniel Hoffmann, is the CEO of Etihad Engineering, the leading independent maintenance, repair and overhaul company here in the Middle East. And today we are recording from the aircraft hangar live in the middle of the action. And Daniel, a warm welcome and thank you for having us. Why did you choose that we record the podcast here in the hangar and not in the boardroom?
First of all, also warm welcome from our side on behalf of Etihad Engineering. Welcome to our premises. And if you would shoot the podcast in the boardroom, it could have been in any company. But our business is not just about a product. It's about passion. It's about aviation. It's about technology. So that's why it's so much better to have the site directly to our product. Like you see the A380 behind us, which is currently undergoing a heavy maintenance check.
Wonderful to be here. So thanks for the warm welcome. Daniel, we have known each other for quite a long time and Etihad Engineering and TTE Strategy have worked together over the past months to shape the journey ahead. And I'm excited to hear more about your personal perspective today.
With pleasure, of course.
Wonderful. Fantastic. So time to dive into the next chapter of our podcast and give our listeners a closer look at your story.
Die Vita.
Daniel, you were born and raised in Hamburg, Germany, but over the past decades you have worked abroad. Is Hamburg still deep in your heart?
Well, of course. Hamburg is the city in which I was born to, and Hamburg is the city I'm very frequently going back to, as my mother, my brother and his family are still living there and a lot of friends. So Hamburg will always remain home. I think that is something which you can't change.
Yeah, and it's one of the most beautiful cities on earth. So it's good to...
In good Germany for sure.
Okay, so let's dive deeper into that, because you have worked across Europe, Southeast Asia and now in the Middle East. How has this journey shaped you as a person and your leadership style?
Yes, indeed. I started my career in 1999 in Hamburg after finishing my studies of industrial engineering. I have worked in the German environment, but only after a few years I had the unique, possibly a once-in-a-lifetime experience to create a new company, a new base maintenance company for Lufthansa Technik in Bulgaria in Sofia. And together with the initial ramp-up team, I relocated there already with the family in 2007. So rightfully, as you said, 18 years ago, I left Hamburg together with the family, and I had the chance to live in total about 13 years in Bulgaria and Sofia, in the very beautiful country. And 3.5 years then also in the Philippines, in Manila, where I was also leading the base maintenance product from Lufthansa Technik. Before then, relocating here to Abu Dhabi to leads Etihad Engineering. So how it fit me as a person and as a leader? So as a person, I strongly believe you need to go out of your comfort zone to grow. So you need to trigger new experiences. You need to trigger yourself and expose yourself to new environments. And I really enjoyed doing that. And I really enjoyed, as hard as it was to leave a certain country or place, I really enjoyed discovering new places. When I was working in Bulgaria and in the Philippines, I thought I would have become a master of intercultural competence. But in hindsight, I must say, in Bulgaria, we had a 99% Bulgarian workforce. In the Philippines, it was 99% Filipino. So adapting to that culture, you have to adapt one culture. So the real challenge is being here in Etihad Engineering, where we are proudly hosting more than 60 different nationalities. And here the awareness and the sensitivity to cultures and the different understanding and interpretation of body languages, of emotions, of content even, has put me into a different challenge. But there's good literature about it and many books which have helped me, especially considering the initial experiences, to support me on my journey to understand colleagues better and to drive the performance better for this company.
Yeah, and we will dive into that in a little bit when we talk about how you take people along in your strategy. maybe a few recommendations for the listeners. So what is a highlight in Sofia? What is a highlight in the Philippines? And what is a highlight here in the Middle East for the tourists among us? Anything that you can recommend?
Well, of course. I mean, Bulgaria is probably one of the most undiscovered gems still. But when we moved there in 2007, we were thinking that. And even nowadays, you barely meet people who have discovered Bulgaria as a tourist destination. In fact, Bulgaria, the country, almost consists just of mountains, up to 3,000 meters, with many ski resorts. It has a beautiful Black Sea coast, lots of very, very ancient cultures, the Thracians, which are one of the ancient, most ancient tribes in Europe, and the proximity to the surrounding countries of Eastern Europe, plus the proximity to Greece, make Bulgaria a very, very attractive location. And that paired with the people of Bulgaria was an amazing experience.
Okay, so wonderful. Bulgaria goes on the travel list.
Yes.
Any quick highlights about the Philippines?
Of course. I mean, in Bulgaria, it's more about mountains. I'm a passionate mountain biker. I loved skiing. My whole family is big into hiking. So really, we really explored the nature. But we transitioned to the Philippines. The country is blessed with more than 7,000 islands. On these islands, the first thing we did as a family is to do the diving license, the PADI, and we discovered not only the islands, the mountains, the volcanoes, but we also discovered the underwater world of the Philippines, which is, I guess, known for all scuba divers amongst the best in the world you can explore.
Sounds like an amazing addition to Sofia. And now the Middle East, any quick highlights for people? Why is it so attractive to be here?
Well, of course. I mean, for the first time going into the desert and witnessing that completely different type of nature is an amazing experience, especially if you go there for overnight camping and you're watching the amazing star sky and being with friends in the desert and having absolute silence during the night is an amazing experience. Abu Dhabi as a city is much, much greener than anyone would anticipate. So Abu Dhabi has a lot of natural mangroves, which is extremely nice to explore with boats. Also hundreds of islands, which are here in the Abu Dhabi region. So also a great city to explore.
Very interesting. And I think the Hamburg Tourism Office will now have quite some challenges to actually promote the city, but we'll do that another time. So here in the company, I have seen quite a bit of sports promotion going on. And I think you've had some tournaments even. As a CEO, are you a competitive person?
Well, I think you need to have at least a sort of competitiveness in order to succeed in business life. But also in general, I love to do sports. And I always try to keep my work-life balance in the sense that when I had a hard day of work, I always try to do some sports. So as I mentioned, Bulgaria was about mountain biking. Here, I swapped it with a race bike because the mountains are missing here. Going to the gym, I have started to play paddle here, which is really nice with a colleague.
He's even with a colleague, right? With tournaments and so on.
Yes. So I strongly believe that if you want to have a workforce and departments which are collaborating at work together in good spirit, you have to bring them together outside of work. And that's why we're doing a lot of company events outside of work. And sport is actually the activity where people are most interacting with each other. A few months ago, we did probably the biggest sport event ever in the history of this company, where we had a cricket tournament, a football tournament, a basketball tournament, and a paddle tournament with almost 500 participants plus spectators, which was an amazing event, which was highly appreciated by the colleagues.
Yeah. Sounds very exciting. You have led other organizations, as we talked before, but here at Etihad Engineering, you are driving an end-to-end growth strategy. So let's talk about your busy times, what we call in German, unruhige Zeiten.
Unruhige Zeiten.
Daniel, for our listeners that are not so familiar with the aviation world, who is Etihad Engineering and what does the company do?
Etihad Engineering is a company that is in the so-called business of the MRO. MRO stands for Maintenance, Repair and Overhaul of Aircraft and Aircraft-Related Parts. Here at Etihad Engineering, our main product is aircraft base maintenance. So these are the checks on the aircraft where you need a hangar infrastructure, you need special dedicated docking system tools, and of course, highly qualified and skilled personnel. The base maintenance product is when you are basically disassembling, inspecting, reassembling, functionally checking, and then releasing the aircraft back to the customers. The checks are usually happening in interval up to every 2 years. Every six to 12 years, you have the major checks. And looking at the aircraft here behind us, that is probably the biggest sized heavy checks you can perform. It's an A380, And if the A380 undergoes a 12-year check, you must imagine that about 100,000 man hours are being put into that aircraft from all kinds of different skills. So mechanics, technicians, cabin experts, avionics, structure. So it needs really a full synchronization and harmonization of the team to do that successfully. And such a check can easily last up to 100 days. So it's a very long ground time. That's one of the products we are doing. We are also supporting companies with design engineering services. So we are approved to create new designs for aircraft parts and also for the cabin. We are having vast capabilities for component repairs and overhaul. Plus, we're having as well a 147 training school. 147 is the abbreviation for schools which are licensed to produce aircraft technicians and aircraft engineers. And last but not least, we have an extensive supply chain services department, which is supporting Etihad Airways with all the products and parts and the supply chain functions. Etihad Engineering has been founded just shy of 40 years ago. And in these last 40 years, it has grown to a company almost reaching 2,500 highly skilled and motivated employees. And we're having a footprint of more than 500,000 square feet on which our multiple hangars are, which can serve more than 15 aircraft in parallel.
And you talked about your customers. So your customers are the airlines. This process, people who fly on aircraft usually don't see. Can you talk about any customers that you have?
Well, indeed. I mean, as the name implies, Etihad Engineering is predominantly serving the Etihad Airways fleet. So we are proudly serving our main customer. Etihad Airways is giving us about 1/3 of the induction in terms of man hours that we are serving here in the hangar. But apart from Etihad Airways, the remaining 70%, we are basically acquiring on the whole world market. And we can proudly say that we are hosting here customers all the way from the South American continent. We are targeting strongly the European market. We have some African customers, Asia Pacific, the Middle East region anyway. And we also proudly serve customers which are flying the aircraft to Etihad Engineering in Abu Dhabi all the way from Australia.
Okay, and how does the market look like overall, very briefly for our listeners, and what's Etihad Engineering's position in that market?
So we are officially listed within the top 10 of the biggest MROs, as I explained earlier, in the market. So we are one of the strong and dominant players. The market in general is at the moment very favorable. The MRO business was suffering in a similar way like the airlines suffered during the COVID times. Airlines were trying to postpone whatever they could in terms of maintenance. So 2020 and 21 were very tough years for all our companies. But nobody expected that after COVID, aviation would bounce back so speedy, and airlines couldn't get the aircraft fast enough into the air. That means from 2022 onwards, we are facing an extreme demand for our MRO services, which is leading to the fact that we are booked out until mid of next year already. On top of that, the main aircraft manufacturers like Airbus and Boeing have quite significantly downsized their workforce during the COVID times and cannot catch up now with the new demand of aircraft deliveries. That is why older aircraft types are being extended. Extended aircraft means more work for us in the base maintenance environment. So at the moment, the market is very, very strong.
Okay, that sounds very, very good. And in that context, you have launched an ambitious 2030 growth plan called Al-Masar 2030, which translates to the PAR 2030. What is this strategy about?
So the strategy Al-Masar is basically to exploit all the potential and to unlock everything that Etihad Engineering is able to do. And with the favorable markets that I explained earlier, also with the specific growth plan of our prime customer Etihad Airways, we are convinced that we can double our revenues within these 5 years from until 2030. And that ambition is founded on a couple of pillars. So first of all, we are revisiting our product portfolio. So what kind of product and services is Etihad Engineering willing to offer on the market? And here we are not looking only into the existing products, which I explained earlier, but we're also trying to unlock new products. We are revisiting our portfolio of aircraft types that we are maintaining here. But only the product wouldn't be sufficient. We need to make sure that even if the market would not be as strong anymore, that we are the MRO provider, the service provider of first choice for our customers. That's why the second pillar is focusing strongly on enhancing the customer journey at Etihad Engineering at all touch points, from requesting a proposal to the check preparation to the execution up to the invoice disputes. And in that pillar, we have identified 19 initiatives which are currently being rolling out. And we can proudly say that year over year, we have increased our customer satisfaction ratio up to 8.9 out of 10, just shy of a 9.0. So that is showing very good results. Last but not least, it wouldn't be sufficient to be understanding what market and products and what the customer journey is. We also need to be excellent in operations. And that's why in operations, we are running an operational excellence project where we are strengthening the project management. As I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of different trades which needs to be synchronized and harmonized. It requires a lot of planning work, preparation work, material supply. So all this we are bringing in harmony with a good project management structure and with visual management, with digitally supported KPIs. And in line with that, we are creating a culture of open reporting and of openness where we are trying to bring down the hierarchies that, independent from the hierarchical level, employees are ready to speak up, to raise concern, and also to raise ideas which can then be processed in continuous improvement processes. And growth would not be possible with also expanding our footprint itself. So we're looking into adding new hangars. Two hangars are just being added as we speak. And another hangar is for a couple of wide-body aircraft is just in the planning phase. But the most important part to support these four more operationally driven pillars, we know we can only do that by being also the employer of first choice. And that's why all these initiatives are supported by a major HR transformation program that puts the person and the individual into the center of our doing in terms of valuing employees, developing employees, and making also the journey for our employees attractive at Etihad Engineering.
And Daniel, if I can say that, when I walk through here, I can feel that buzz, and I think it's part of what we talk about next, your secret sauce.
The secret sauce.
Daniel, what is your secret sauce to making Etihad Engineering a global MRO challenger, a first choice for leading airlines?
Okay, I mean, I've just explained about our Al-Masar project, so all our focus and energy is now going into making that happen. I have seen in my humble 27 years of experience within that business that many times strategies are developed behind closed doors and are then broken down top down into the organization, if that happens at all. Sometimes the organization is completely disconnected. So here we have chosen the approach that we collected ideas of what could strengthen Etihad Engineering and what is needed to bring us to the next level. We have involved the whole company, and we had a couple of outside sessions with leaders from all departments to prioritize our target picture, to then derive from this target pictures specific pillars supported by specific projects and initiatives to make it happen. And then very important is that when it's clear for the management team what needs to be happen, it is quite often that the management team has spent a lot of time with it. But the story needs to be very easily explainable and digestible for all our 2,500 employees. So that's why we are translating it into simple targets like doubling in size, baseline 2023 against baseline 2030. And it's very clear that within these 6-7 years, we need to double our revenues. And we are touching all the touch points like customers, employees, growth.
So let's make it very pragmatic, right? If I'm a mechanic or engineer here on the shop floor, you're the CEO, you're talking about the Al-Masar program, I'm on the shop floor. How can I contribute, and how do I feel very concretely that Etihad Engineering is on this growth journey, and what can I do?
Yeah, so first of all, the name Al-Masar that you mentioned, which means the path, has been developed by the people. So 1 year ago, we had a town hall, and before this town hall, we asked people to hand in the name. So the name itself is coming from the people, which is already giving us a higher buy-in. Then in order to disseminate the strategy and to underline the importance, I personally went into all departments of Etihad Engineering and did 15 major roadshows, 2 hours each, where I explained within 45 to 60 minutes the strategy, supported by a few pragmatic slides. But most important that we gave the audience ample time to contribute with their ideas, with their challenges, and we have taken these ideas and phased that in. And I would strongly suggest that every technician which you're asking is aware about the targets, where the company is heading to, is aware about the challenge and the main goals that we're striving at. Plus, we're doing a lot of communication around it. So across the whole company, you see a lot of TV screens in which we are not only disseminating the targets, but we are also disseminating achievements and KPIs. And we put people in the focus who have contributed with these achievements. So Almasar has a specific brand, it's labeled, and it can't be ignored anymore. It's too present. So each technician, what you're asking, would be fully aware also how he can personally contribute to the success of ATIAD Engineering.
Yeah. So for next year and the years ahead, what are your must wins? Things that you cannot compromise on? What needs to happen here at ATIAD Engineering?
All right, our must wins are clearly securing customers, adding more customers, and driving the customer satisfaction further up, because customers are our bread and butter. Without them, we lose our purpose for existence. But a big, big must win, and I can feel that we're on a good track there, is the trust of our employees. And we are having this transformational project, so we are focusing a lot of the people. I strongly believe that the people need to feel that the company is successful only also with their personal impact. So we did very good bonus payouts in the beginning of this year, because we see already that not only in implementation of the strategy we are successful, but also financially we are seeing that the results are that we can harvest now already what we have sowed. And we have, as I said, we're doing the team events, we are doing outside events outside of the company. We have identified and implemented the talent management process. We have unlocked again soft skill trainings. We are encouraging team building events across departments. So all these activities are visible for the people and are very well appreciated. So this is for me a clear must win. Without the full contribution, the buy-in and the motivation of our workforce, it will fail.
So Daniel, ATIAD Engineering is part of Abu Dhabi Aviation Group. Any quick comments on how your strategy links to that?
Yeah, sure. So 1.5 years ago, ATIAD Engineering transitioned into the Abu Dhabi Aviation Group. And we are already looking into opportunities, how we can synergize with the Abu Dhabi Aviation Group, how we can make use of each other's infrastructure, and harvesting the synergies which the companies are able to provide.
Okay, very interesting. You are a German CEO with international experience. What could other companies abroad learn from the secret sauce here in the Middle East? What could German companies learn from here?
Very interesting question. And I have been working for a German employer for about 25 years. Now that I'm not anymore part of a German employer, what I'm feeling, people are more open to criticize the German approach of going abroad. And we also feel that very often, if we are having business contacts with German companies, Germans tend to believe that they have the best solutions and the best processes in place. And what they could learn is to hold back a bit, to listen to the needs of the business partners, clients, customers, whatever they're talking to understand it before they are imposing solutions which are already ready-made in their mind. So Germans tend always to be a bit impatient and want to move things forward, which is sometimes conflicting, especially here in this region. You have to give ample time for people to think, to understand, and to come to a sound decision, which is then also sustainable in its implementation.
Very interesting, Daniel. I had a great conversation yesterday in Dubai with a senior leader from the region. And I asked her, what's your perspective about what Germans could do differently? And it was quite a thinking course. And she then answered to me, they rush a lot. So it actually resonates quite a bit. One key aspect of making it all happen is actually linked to a quote that someone said once to me. If you have a strategy on paper and it doesn't materialize, it's only a daydream. So let's talk about how we make it happen here.
Der menschliche Moment.
In your experience, what can go wrong in strategy execution?
I've mentioned earlier, if you don't get the buy-in of the people and the simple understanding about the necessity why this product, why this strategy needs to work, it will fail. Second, it needs the buy-in of the whole leadership team. It cannot be that the leadership team is not convinced of what needs to be done. So again, here, give it ample time for everybody to understand the need before you're running and rushing forward and trying to implement things which are not maybe fully understood or fully digested or fully clear why this actually needs to happen. That is for me the most important thing to avoid failure. But once you have set this up, you need also a clear monitoring system to steer on the way until the strategy end target of the year 2030, if you're on or off track. So you need to define your targets on that roadmap that leads towards the target to be able to see if the measures you're implementing are also resulting in the necessary impact.
How about resources? Do you have a special team around this or to support you on the strategy journey? How does that work?
Well, obviously we have the colleagues from TTE, which are very professionally supporting us on our journey. But as TTE is the abbreviation for the team enabler, we have agreed with the TTE that we are creating our own so-called PMO, which is a strategy department which will not only remain until 2030. It's a long-term strategy, because once we're implementing until 2030, it's clear that we need to adapt to the new challenges the market will bring to us in 5 years' time. And this PMO is basically driving, coordinating the strategy. But it is not only an island department within Etihad Engineering. We also have ambassadors in all of the departments which need to spread the thoughts and work on the projects that we are driving. So we have a clear structure of the overarching targets and then broken down into departmental targets with clear ownership and project managers running the individual initiatives.
Okay, wonderful. There's a lot of growth in aviation here in the region, and winning and retaining talent is key, especially when you plan to grow as you do. So what is your compelling story for your people here, but also for talent outside, why they should come to Etihad Engineering?
So our compelling story is what we're seeing behind us. I mean, we are a company working in aviation. We're working with the aircraft. We're working with high technology in a very interesting environment. So working on the aircraft is still something which our workforce is dreaming for. And once somebody is in aviation, it's very hard to get out of it once the kerosene is in your blood. But we know that we need this people transformation part in our strategy in order to retain the workforce. And as I mentioned, market-wise, aviation MRO business is currently at its peak. So the fight for talented workforce has begun already years ago. And we have to remain attractive as an employer. I have labeled already all the initiatives which we are doing to make Etihad Engineering attractive as an employer. But I also don't want to be naive. We have to be also competitive on the labor market with our compensation and benefit package. So that's why we are constantly analyzing our packages to the market.
But then, very concretely, if I'm an engineer or an upcoming mechanic, a technician, and I have a couple of offers on the table, yeah, maybe from Etihad Engineering, maybe from Emirates, maybe from other players here in the region, why should I come to you?
Well, Etihad Engineering is a brand on the labor market which has a certain value. So Etihad is a prime MRO. We are constantly listed and awarded as the MRO of the year and are receiving excellence awards throughout the industry. But most important is that as part of our strategy, we are valuing our employees, so we are investing into our people. And I mentioned earlier all these aspects we are doing. But most important, I think, is that Etihad Engineering is in line with the strategy on a growth path. As mentioned, we want to double its size until 2030. This will not work without significantly increasing our workforce. Being part of a growing company unlocks a lot of opportunities for the employees. So first of all, it's job security, it's stability, and also with each growth path, you're unlocking new leadership positions which are needed. So career development is a definite option here at Etihad Engineering.
So if anyone is listening in and thinking about a career in MRO aviation, Etihad Engineering definitely is a good point to contact.
Absolutely.
I have three bonus questions for you, Daniel. Just brief answers. Boardroom or shop floor?
Of course, a shop floor.
Very good. Airbus or Boeing?
Well, my father worked all his life for Airbus, so I think this answer is very clear.
That's why we also chose this aircraft over here. And the bonus, are you missing the currywurst in the Lufthansa Technik canteen in Hamburg?
I'm not even sure if I ever ate it. I'm not a big fan of currywurst dish. So that is something that I don't miss at all.
Yeah, what are the good dishes here in the canteen?
Well, the good thing, as I mentioned, we are hosting here more than 60 nationalities. So you always have on a daily basis a mixture in our canteen of Asian food, Middle East food, Filipino food, Mediterranean food. So it's That's a very good selection.
Yeah. Before we move on to our last section, what is maybe your personal career advice to young talents for their career?
So maybe a similar advice that I give to the Germans going abroad. I've seen too often that young talents who are just graduating from universities are so full of energy and so motivated that they are also impatient and they want to run too fast. But I think it's very important, especially in the first years, to listen more than to talk, to understand the business, to be supportive without rushing forward with ideas which may not work. That is the one thing I would give. Then the second thing is you will observe as a young talent a lot of people acting and behaving. So I would give anyone the hint, choose wisely who you're looking up to, who are you, who is your role model. Also look at things which you do not want to copy from others, where you think it is the wrong behaviors and attitude. And probably the most important hint is always stay true to yourself. Never try to bend your own character. People around you, whether superiors, peers or employees, they will notice that. And once you lose that sense of authenticity, you're losing the people around you.
Thank you, Daniel. Now we've talked about your strategy, about everything that's going on in Etihad Engineering, but let's make it concrete in the next section. You have to open your calendar for us.
Oder bei die Fische.
Here we go, Daniel. You have talked about the strategic plan, but let's make it concrete. What's in your calendar later today and this week?
Well, later today, we have invited all our employees to our annual town hall, in which we are again disseminating the latest status of our Al-Masnad project, where we stand. We're also talking about general company information, and we always try to do that not in a boring way, and we would like to link it always with gamification, with some quizzes, with some things that employees can win. And for this afternoon, we have selected a very special location. We are going to do that at SeaWorld Abu Dhabi, where we have booked the auditorium from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., where we will host all our employees which are joining. We don't have everybody on shift today, but we're expecting about 1,500 employees to join that event. And from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., we have booked the whole SeaWorld only for our employees and for their families and friends, which are then welcome to experience the SeaWorld Abu Dhabi.
Well, that sounds like an exciting event. And thanks for the invitation, by the way. I'll also join later. So very, very, very curious to see that. Next week, any travel plans, anything that's on your agenda?
Well, in our industry, we have a couple of shows worldwide, which are very, very important for us because we are meeting our customers, suppliers and vendors. These shows are happening across all the region. And as I mentioned earlier, Europe is one of our most strategically important markets. So next week is the so-called MRO London exhibition, MRO Europe, hosted in London. So I'm going to be there from Tuesday to Thursday. That's on the agenda for next week.
Yep. Sounds very exciting. Most of success with your town hall this afternoon. Looking forward to listening in. And as I know, the amazing team here at Etihad Engineering, wishing you and everyone best of success with the path towards 2030. And I'd love to hear in a year or so where things are.
With pleasure, Lars.
Thank you, Daniel, for your time. Your perspective is very highly appreciated. And dear listeners, thank you for joining in today here in Abu Dhabi. And if you have any comments or questions, please let us know. Any suggestions for future episodes at hello@tte-strategy.com. The Unruhige Zeiten podcast is a format by TTE Strategy, the award-winning strategy and transformation consultancy recognized multiple times with the Hidden Champion Award. And if you are looking to bring calm and routine into your restless everyday life, tune in again to Unruhige Zeiten. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Lars.
Unruhige Zeiten.